Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello, and thanks for joining us for another episode of Friends with Money, Money Magazine's podcast to help you earn, save, and achieve your financial goals. My name is Tom Watson, a senior journalist here at Money Magazine, and as always, it's great to be with you. Before we get into today's episode, don't forget to subscribe to Friends with Money if you haven't already. That way you'll get the show in your feed every week and you won't miss an episode. And if you enjoy the show and would like to spread the word, then we'd love for you to share it with a friend, a family member, a well-wisher, basically anyone you think might like it as much as you do. As they say, sharing is caring. On to today's episode, though. Did you know that one in six Australians live in strata-titled properties like apartments, units, and townhouses nowadays? I'll fully admit until a couple of weeks ago that I did not know that, but as Australia continues to transition to higher density living, that number is likely to keep on growing. Buying a strata-titled property does come with a number of responsibilities and potential pitfalls, though, both of which someone buying for the first time might not necessarily be aware of. So to run us through some of the basics of buying into strata and more, I'm pleased to say that we are joined today by a bit of an expert on the subject, strata lawyer at Your Strata Property and host of the Your Strata Property podcast, Amanda Farmer. Amanda, welcome to Friends with Money.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
You are so welcome. It's a pleasure to have you on the show. And I said a bit of an expert, I would say very much an expert, but hopefully you agree with that. Hopefully I'm not overselling you, but I'm sure I'm being realistic. Amanda, to start us off, what actually is strata as an ownership model though? And how does it differ from other kinds of ownership?
Thanks, Tom. Well, look, you can oversell me as much as you like. No such thing as overselling. Thank you for that intro. The terms strata, or some of your listeners may know it as body corporate, are used to describe what I like to call communities of unrelated people all living together on the same block. Whether that's a high-rise apartment building, it could be villas or townhouses. And these are terms that we use to kind of refer to the rules of the game. How is it that these unrelated people can live cooperatively and collaboratively in the same building or on the same block? Because we've got to have some rules and some guidelines to keep everyone on the straight and narrow and keep everything running smoothly.
I think that's a great intro for people that perhaps haven't lived in a strata property before, and leads onto a very natural segue, because I'm curious to learn a little bit more about bylaws, Amanda. So, I'm sure there are many different rules out there that, you know, differ from building to building. But in your experience, have you come across any particular ones that I guess tend to catch new buyers out?
Yes, definitely. Bylaws, or rules as they're called in some jurisdictions, play a really big role in our strata buildings. And that's because strata is just so different to other types of property. When you've got a freestanding home, all of that property is yours. You don't share any part of your backyard or your front yard with other people. It's yours to do with as you like. But when you live in a strata community, there is actually shared property, and we call that common property. And our bylaws are very often going to what you can and can't do on the common property, and sometimes even what you can and can't do in your own apartment if that behavior is going to affect others. So bearing in mind that some of your listeners may be looking at buying into strata or maybe new to strata, I want to alert them to a type of bylaw that we call an exclusive use or a common property rights bylaw. And that's a bylaw that may be part of your building that restricts part of the property to the use of one person only. So when you're buying in, you might think, oh, that courtyard looks really great. I'm really looking forward to having people over and having a barbecue there. The rooftop, that looks like a fabulous view up there. I'd love to go up there with friends. You might find that there's actually a bylaw that says only the penthouse owner can use the rooftop, or only the owner of unit 3 can use the back courtyard. And you might have been told by a real estate agent when you're buying in that you can use these areas, that this is common property, this is shared spaces, this is all part of the value that you're buying. Have a really close look at the bylaws to make sure that those areas that you're looking forward to using are not within someone else's exclusive use, or that they have the right to use it without you.
That is an excellent example. I'm shocked that that exists. And I can imagine that that is, you know, can come as quite a surprise to someone if they've just moved in.
Yes, definitely. And look, I've mentioned real estate agents there in a lot of the education I do on the podcast and with new buyers. I'm often a little bit critical of our real estate agents, our sales agents who are, look, trying to do a job for their vendor, but don't necessarily understand the ins and outs of strata and the nuances and aren't always alerting our purchasers to the unique nature of what they're buying into. So it's just so important that those buying into strata understand how it all works. Another example where bylaws can come back to bite you is pets. And if you've got your dog, I know I've got two, love pets. It's so important if you want to move in with your furry family member that you check the bylaws and see if pets are allowed. And if they are allowed, what's the process that you might need to follow to get approval for your pet?
Amanda, I mean, these are both really interesting examples, but something else that I have to ask about and something that I really wasn't aware of until I started researching this topic a couple of weeks ago is costs and fees. So what are the, I guess, the different types of costs that strata owners will and could be liable for? And do these also tend to vary from building to building?
Yes. So when you're buying into a strata community, there will be what we call levies. Those are generally quarterly payments that you make to the owner's corporation or the body corporate. These are different terminologies that we use throughout the different states of Australia. In New South Wales, we call the buildings owner's corporations. In Queensland, you'll find they're called body corporates. Levies are the amounts that you pay to keep the building running, to be able to fund the maintenance of these common areas that I've been talking about, to be able to maintain the swimming pool, if you're lucky to have one, the gym, the lift, the lovely rooftop area where you might be able to have barbecues up there, to pay for the building manager, to pay for the professional strata manager, to pay the electricity bills for the common area, the water bills. That's what your quarterly levies are going towards. And that amount should be known to you when you're buying the property. That should be disclosed. Again, it's something the real estate agent will probably tell you. We can talk about how you can check that what the real estate agent is telling you is right. Quarterly levies you absolutely need to be prepared for and budgeting for. There may also be what we call special levies, and these can come up where the quarterly levies just are not covering emergency or unexpected expenses. So maybe the roof has started leaking and we need to do a major repair up there. There may be a special levy. It could be in some communities, hundreds of thousands of dollars spread across each owner that you might have to contribute to. So it's really important to be aware that that is a possibility when you're buying into a building and to do your due diligence so that you can, as far as possible, know if a special levy is coming up and be prepared for it.
I mean, I guess a roof repair can be pretty expensive. So one of the questions that came up into my mind when you were talking there, Amanda, is what people can actually do if they can't afford paying for, you know, these quarterly levies or a special levy.
Yeah.
So what can happen and what can people do?
Especially these special levies, they can come as a surprise and they can be difficult for owners to bear. Unfortunately, there's no real way to avoid or to opt out of paying these amounts. And it's really important that I send that message and that message is received. We sometimes say in our circles, if you can't afford it, then you shouldn't own it. And that's a little bit of tough love there. There are some options for owners who may be suffering financial hardship. They can approach their strata committee and ask for a payment plan to spread the burden of their contributions towards a special levy over a longer period of time. They can ask for interest to be waived on late payments. And that's something important to be aware of. There is interest that's charged under our strata law, quite a high rate. It's set at 10% at the moment under our strata law for late payments. Any type of late levy payments, you'd be looking at interest. So it's always a bad idea to just stop paying your levies without communicating with your strata committee, seeing if you can get a payment plan in place and seeing if you can come to some agreement about interest. But putting your hand up and saying, look, this is difficult for me. What are my options? Is really the first step towards solving that kind of problem.
Well, I think that's a really good point for people to be able to appreciate and know what they can do in that situation. Amanda, moving on from costs, though, I imagine that there are, you know, plenty of people out there who have plans to renovate their, you know, unit or townhouse or whatever they bought. It's probably a pretty common thing, right? But are there any potential hurdles that come with renovating in a strata building?
Yes, definitely. And great question. I see a lot of owners buying in to buildings, often an older style apartment. They're thinking, great, I'm going to make some money on this. I want to renovate the bathroom. I'm going to put a brand new kitchen in there. Then I'm going to put a tenant in, or I'm going to Airbnb, or in 6 months' time, I'm going to sell it and I'm going to make my fortune. That is not the way it works in strata. For most renovations that go beyond simple cosmetic paint jobs, you will need the approval of the owner's corporation, of the body corporate, before you can commence your renovation. A new bathroom, a new kitchen, air conditioning, installing hard flooring. A lot of people want to rip up that old carpet and put a nice floating floor in there. Opening up doorways and removing walls, you will need approval. And that approval usually comes from a meeting. So there must be a meeting scheduled of all the owners. They have to have a look at your proposal and provide their approval. Now, all of that takes time. And you as an owner often cannot force that meeting to happen. You can't force the other owners to move on your time frame. So if you're planning to do that kind of renovation, please do factor in that time it's going to take to get approval. If you're wanting to put a tenant in there, it might be an idea to get a tenant in pretty quickly while that approval process is happening, rather than leave the place empty. And certainly budget. When you're doing your forecasting, budget that this renovation may take some time to get across the line. And at the end of the day, it might not even be approved by the owner's corporation. So there's a lot of power there that your neighbors have that a lot of new purchasers are not aware of.
Excellent points. And geez, you wouldn't want to be caught out by that. So definitely worth knowing before you start drilling or knocking down a wall or something like that. Amanda, you know, given your profession, it would be a bit of a missed opportunity for me not to ask about litigation and strata. So can it happen? And what are some of the reasons that you come across?
Yes, Tom, it absolutely can happen. And indeed, that is my bread and butter. When we have all of these unrelated people with their different interests, with their different personalities, all living together in often small spaces, of course, we have conflict. The popular cases that I see come across my desk often relate to the common property not being properly repaired or maintained. So there's an owner who's suffering from leaky windows or a leaky roof, and their owner's corporation is really dragging the chain on getting that part of the property repaired. That's a lot of the work that I do. And yes, that can end up in litigation. Sometimes owners do renovation work without getting the right permissions. So then their building may commence litigation against them to make sure that they bring everything up to scratch and go and retrospectively seek the right approvals, or perhaps they might have to reinstate the common property that they have illegally affected. There's disputes about noise. There's disputes about people parking in the wrong places, antisocial behavior, breaches of bylaws, all kinds of things in my world, Tom. Keeps me very interested.
I was going to say, it keeps you busy, obviously. That's an amazing list of things there. So definitely worth knowing about.
Absolutely. And look, I don't want to scare anyone off strata living or apartment living. It's something that I do. It's something that I invest in. And as a lawyer, I'm really dealing with, I often say, the top 2% of the top 10% of worst situations. The majority Absolutely. Of communities out there really do function very well.
I think that's an excellent point to make as well, because we don't want to scare people off. You know, it's obviously a very popular type of property for people to live in. Before we do let you go, though, Amanda, do you have any advice, I guess, to help buyers make sure that they're A, prepared, and B, don't end up buying in a bit of a dud building?
Yeah, definitely. It is so, so important. If this message hasn't landed yet, this is it. Do your research before you buy in to strata. And that means actually going and looking at the books and records of the owner's corporation or the body corporate. These are the actual documents that show you how the building is running, the financials that show you how much money is in the trust account. You can investigate the construction quality of the building. If you're looking into buying into a new building, are there any building defects? Is there litigation against the original builder? What are the bylaws? All of those are recorded in documents. You can have a look at what the bylaws are and whether you think any of them are going to affect you and your furry friends or your plans to renovate or run an Airbnb. You can see from the documents what the general harmony of the community is. Does everybody get along? Is there litigation against the neighbor upstairs? Now, these documents will be held by the professional strata manager if the building has one, and those persons' details should be available to you through the sales agent or on the front page of your contract that you're looking at. Please do this research before you sign that contract.
I can't stress how much of an excellent point that is. I've had a chat to a couple of people in the last few weeks who have bought into strata and didn't do the kind of research that they wish they had, and are kind of dealing with the consequences after that. So again, not to scare anyone off, but I think your point about doing the research is spot on, Amanda. This has been such an interesting, although probably a pretty quick dive, unfortunately, into strata. But for people wanting to learn more and I guess learn a little bit more about yourself as well, Amanda, where can they find you?
The best place to go is over to yourstrataproperty.com.au. That's where you can access almost 400 episodes of my podcast. I've been podcasting myself for over 7 years now, and those podcasts are just a treasure trove of strata information. So great place to up your strata knowledge or dive in for the first time. I'd love to see you over there.
That's a great shout out, and would definitely encourage people to go and have a look if they haven't already. Again, Amanda, thank you so much for joining us today. It has been an absolute pleasure, and we'd love to have you back on the show at some point in the future. So we'll look forward to that.
I'd love to be back. Thanks so much, Tom.
Before we go, don't forget that you can get in contact with us with any queries or episode ideas using our dedicated email, which is podcast@moneymag.com.au. You can also keep up to date with all the latest financial news on our website by heading over to moneymag.com.au. That's it for this episode of the Friends with Money podcast, though, but we'll be right back in your feeds next week. I'm Tom Watson. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.